You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio, particularly today. I didn't expect to be in studio because last minute, my doctor and a nurse that was attending to me thought that I would need a blood transfusion. And that would have encroached on my whole afternoon. It would have inhibited my ability to do a podcast. I did a podcast with Dr. Paul Nelson, which is absolutely incredible this afternoon. But as it turned out, my hemoglobin counts were up instead of going down like they usually do. My white blood cell counts are up. I mean, everything was up. And I just could not get over thanking the Lord for all of this. And so I didn't have to get to the studio late. I've been here all afternoon, and it has been absolutely a fantastic blessing from the Lord. One of the things that I did this afternoon is a little research after the podcast. I read an article by Dr. Michelle Cretella. And it's titled, "I'm a Pediatrician, How Transgender Ideology Has Infiltrated My Field and Produced Large-Scale Child Abuse." And though I just read this, I thought, I have to bring this to our audience. Dr. Cretella is president of the American College of Pediatrics, which is a national organization of pediatricians and other healthcare professionals dedicated to the health and well-being of children. And as I read through her article in the Daily Signal, I was just appalled at the data. She explained in a 2016 peer-reviewed article. It was titled "Gender Dysphoria in Children and Suppression of Debate," that professionals who dare to question the unscientific party line of supporting gender transition therapy will find themselves maligned and out of a job. In other words, you sort of have to follow lockstep the social engineering, the narrative that we are now hearing in our culture. It's brand new, but we're supposed to accept it as though it were true. Now, this article, again, is from a pediatrician who has served 17 years as a board-certified general pediatrician, for the last 12 years, a board member and researcher for the American College of Pediatrics, or pediatricians, I should say, and for the last 3 years, served as its president. She also sat on the board of directors for the Alliance of Therapeutic Choice and Scientific Integrity from 2010 to 2015. All of that to say that this pediatrician has chops. And she points out that the transition-affirming protocol now tells parents to treat their children as the gender they desire and to place them on puberty blockers around age 11 or 12 if they are considered gender dysphoric. And if by age 16 the children still insist that they're trapped in the wrong body, they're placed on cross-sex hormones, and biological girls may obtain a double mastectomy. As far as so-called bottom surgeries are concerned, genital reassignment surgeries, well, they're not recommended before age 18, though some surgeons have recently argued against this restriction. The transition-affirming approach has now been embraced by public institutions in media, education, in our legal system, and is now recommended by most national medical organizations. I mean, this is terrifying stuff. And yet the idea that feminized or masculinized brains can be trapped in the wrong body from before birth is a myth with no basis in science. Again, this from someone who knows what they're talking about. And even the American Psychological Association's Handbook of Sexuality and Psychology admits that prior to the widespread promotion of transition affirmation, catch this, 75% to 95% of pre-pubertal children who were distressed by their biological sex eventually outgrew that distress. The vast majority came to accept their biological sex by late adolescence after passing naturally through puberty. But with transition affirmation now increasing in Western culture, the number of children claiming distress over their gender has dramatically increased. Here's a great example. The Gender Identity Development Service in the United Kingdom alone has seen a 2,000% increase, a 2,000% increase in referrals since 2009. You think a narrative doesn't matter? This is amazing. Of course, there is a very serious ethical problem in allowing irreversible, life-changing procedures to be performed on minors who are too young themselves to give valid consent. And prior to the widespread promotion of transition affirmation, well, again, the percentages are staggering. Up to 95% of gender dysphoric youth ended up happy with their biological sex after simply passing through puberty. Here's another point made by the doctor. Adults who undergo sex reassignment, even in Sweden, which is among the most LGBT-affirming countries in the world, have a suicide rate nearly 20 times greater than that of the general population. Conclusion, clearly sex reassignment is not the solution to gender dysphoria. And yet the transition-affirming movement is using the myth that people are born transgender to justify engaging in massive, uncontrolled, unconsented experimentation on children who have a psychological condition that would otherwise resolve after puberty in the vast majority of cases. So the bottom line, according to the doctor, is that today's institutions that promote transition affirmation are pushing children to impersonate the opposite sex, sending many of them down the path of puberty blockers, sterilization, the removal of healthy body parts, and untold psychological damage. Again, the conclusion, some is this, these harms constitute nothing less than institutionalized child abuse. So why do I share that with our audience? I share that because it is time for us to wake up. I mean, this has happened before. I mentioned in a podcast that I did today, Huxley's eugenic ambitions. Huxley, of course, was the bulldog of Charles Darwin. He popularized and promoted Darwin's theories, as did his progeny. There were a lot of Huxleys involved in the mix. But Huxley had eugenic ambitions, meaning that he believed Darwin's theory with such fervor that he wanted to protect the gene pool. So the idea is that you got to keep the gene pool from being infected with less fit genes. Now, how are you going to do that? We have to figure out who has less fit genes. Well, back then, the idea was, well, maybe blacks have less fit genes. And probably Jews have as well. And then, of course, there are those who have physical or psychological maladies. They're going to pollute the gene pool as well. So what do we have to do? Well, sterilize them. War, as in the death camps of Germany, experiment on them and then get rid of them. So you had this incredible social experiment. And you say, well, that was Germany. No, that was America. America set the tone for this in blue states ranging from New York to California, in the most prestigious universities on the planet, including Stanford. So here we have an idea that today has been thoroughly discarded. Why? Because it saw its culmination in something that was so ghastly, people finally woke up. We're in that same position today, and now with the most innocent among us, kids, we're experimenting on them. And if you don't walk lockstep with the agenda, you end up having the NBA pull out of the All-Star game in Charlotte, North Carolina. You realize that North Carolina is still paying reparations to families that suffered under eugenics? I mean, we're still paying for that today. That social experiment has been discarded. No one wants to even live up to the fact that it happened. Well, we're doing the same thing, but now again, the experimentation is on children. And again, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph, as has been well said, is for good people to do nothing. And we cannot be part of the problem, particularly as Christians. How many times do I have to repeat the words of Jesus? We have been called to be salt and light. And if the salt loses its saltiness, it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. So you are the light of the world. It's important for you to be informed and then to act on the information. I mean, this is one of the reasons. I mean, I got to tell you, maybe there's a little confession here. This is one of the first books that I have not read that I have promoted. Darwin's House of Cards by Tom Bethel. We're promoting two things. One is Revolutionary, which is absolutely phenomenal. I've seen it a number of times, but Darwin's House of Cards, I didn't read. And so it's a little more difficult for me to promote on air. Although I've been working with people at the Christian Research Institute for 10, 20, 30 years that recommended this book, and therefore I had good reason to believe it's a phenomenal book. but they didn't tell me the half of it, I will tell you. I started reading this book a few days ago, and this is one of the most delicious, intoxicating books I have ever read, because Tom Bethel is an unusual writer. I mean, I laughed out loud about 20 times yesterday reading it through this. I mean, it is a phenomenal book. Maybe, I don't want to use too much hyperbole here, but certainly among the best books I've ever read on this particular subject. So again, these are resources we put into your hands so you are aware of what's going on in the culture. Why do you need to be aware? So you can influence your children, your family members, your friends, your circle of influence. Make a difference while there's yet time. Those resources available for those who support the ministry all this month. Check it out on the web at equip.org. We're going to be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your questions answered right here, live, in just a moment.
The divide between the two major branches of Islam, Sunni and Shia, stems from the homicide of Muhammad. Many Shias contend that Muhammad's young wife, Aisha, committed the murder, while many Sunnis believe a Jewish woman was ultimately responsible. Despite perpetual dispute, Sunni and Shia share remarkable unanimity when it comes to the main and the plain things of Islam. Don't miss Hank Hanegraaff's cover feature article, Sunni-Shia Split, in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man will return in just a few moments. In his book, Darwin's House of Cards, Tom Bethel writes, "The science of Darwinism was poor all along and supported by very few facts. Although Darwinism has been promoted as science," says Bethel, "its unstated role has been to prop up a philosophy of materialism and atheism along with it. As Christians, we are called by Christ to be wise and build our house on the rock. Darwinian devotees, however, have built their ivory tower on sinking sand. And the rain fell and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." To receive your copy of Darwin's House of Cards as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The divide between the two major branches of Islam, Sunni and Shia, stems from the homicide of Muhammad. Many Shias contend that Muhammad's young wife, Aisha, committed the murder, while many Sunnis believe a Jewish woman was ultimately responsible. Despite perpetual dispute, Sunni and Shia share remarkable unanimity when it comes to the main and the plain things of Islam. Other topics include challenging the central claim of the Nation of Islam, are all religions man-made, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI. or go online to equip.org. In his book, Darwin's House of Cards, Tom Bethel writes, "The science of Darwinism was poor all along and supported by very few facts. Although Darwinism has been promoted as science, its unstated role has been to prop up a philosophy, the philosophy of materialism and atheism along with it. As Christians, we must understand the facts and be able to dismantle Darwin's outdated ideas and their de-evolutionary influence on our world." To receive your copy of Darwin's House of Cards as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go to our callers, 888-ASK-HANK. First up, John, St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, John.
Hank, thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I want to ask you if you read the book Searching for Adam by Terry Mortensen.
I have.
So I wanted to get your thoughts on the book and the author's view on man's origin.
Yeah, I have not read the book. I am familiar with Terry Mortensen. I think he's with Answers in Genesis.
He believes in a literal interpretation of Genesis, which would suggest that Adam is about 6,000 years old. I mean, I just started reading the book, so I haven't gone through it all. Given that God's creation took literally 6 days, the universe is roughly 6,000 years old as well, which, of course, is in conflict with the Big Bang Theory. And just, I mean, where do you stand on this?
Well, I don't think there's any conflict with Big Bang cosmology. I mean, Big Bang cosmology presupposes a beginning, and that's what we read in the first few words of Genesis. So Big Bang cosmology can be harmonized with Genesis, but I don't think that a 6,000-year-old universe can be harmonized with Genesis, because Genesis, if you read it in the sense in which it's intended, is not intended to give you a chronology. What Genesis gives you is chirology. It gives you God's purposes in creation, with humankind being the crowning jewel of God's creation. And so I think this whole notion that somehow or other we can figure out from the days of Genesis how long it took is missing the point. We are to remember God's creative prowess during the normal course of everyday living. We live in 7-day cycles, and so we remember God's creative prowess, but we certainly don't suppose it took God 24 hours to do anything. This is not the point. And when you talk about reading Genesis literally, I do as well. But what does that mean? It means you read it as literature. You don't read it in a wooden, literalistic sense, but in the sense in which it's intended. So if there's an anthropomorphism that is used in Genesis, where God says to Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" you don't suddenly deny God's omniscience. Or if God walks in the garden, you don't suddenly think that God has big feet. It means you read the text in the sense in which it's intended. And so I would contend that this whole notion that you can figure out the chronology based on the genealogies and based on the days of creation is simply misguided. I mean, some of the clues are they are so bright that they're hard to miss. 10 genealogies on one side of the flood, 10 genealogies on the other. This is hardly sequential. It's symmetrical. So I think it's important that if you follow the literal principle, that you follow it by understanding the art and science of biblical interpretation. And, now at the end of the day, here's my view. My view is I do not want to make this an acid test for orthodoxy. Unfortunately, there are people within some Christian organizations that do, And if you do not hold to their position and their way of interpreting Genesis, and therefore imposing that interpretation on doing good science, then you're out of the fold. You've walked away from the Christian faith. And I think that's unfortunate. So I think this is one of those things that we can debate vigorously. Ultimately, we shouldn't divide over. And I think the quintessential person as a young earth creationist that we ought to follow the model of is Dr. Paul Nelson. In fact, I just did a podcast with him. And you talk about a person that knows how to reach as opposed to repel. I think he is a model for all of us to follow. So I may disagree with him on this particular point, but I hold him in high regard, so high regard that I have him frequently on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And as I said, I just did a podcast with him today.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for your insight.
You got it, John. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Greg. Greg is in Boynton Beach, Florida. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to ask a quick question in regard to gender problems. We have children, unfortunately, that are born either retarded or conjoined or with muscular dystrophy. There's a bunch of different things that can happen. And I'm just wondering why a gender transformation can't be one of those things.
Well, I think, first of all, we're engaged in a social experiment that has been foisted on the public by the cultural elite, and that with vast rapidity, without doing the proper kinds of studies or without properly looking at the data. For example, identical twins contain 100% of the same DNA from conception and are exposed to the same prenatal hormones. And so if the genes or the prenatal hormones contributed significantly to transgenderism, we would expect both twins to identify as transgender close to 100% of the time. But the doctor that I was referring to at the opening of the broadcast, Dr. Michelle Cretella, points out that in the largest study of twin transgender adults, this was published by Dr. Milton Diamond in 2013, only 28% of identical twins both identified as transgender. 72% of the time, they differed. The 28% of identical twins both identified as transgender, this actually suggests a minimal biological predisposition, which means transgenderism will not manifest itself without outside non-biological factors also impacting the individual during his lifetime. So when we start to strip away gender identity from biology, we should expect some big, big problems. So in the other categories, that's not the presupposition. But in this category, it is the presupposition. That's why you can have 57 or more different gender identities today. That's why now this rush to judgment on anyone that uses a he or she pronoun. This is considered bigoted. So I think what we ought to do is look at the data, and that's my appeal, is simply look at the data. As far as people having maladies, well, that's part of a fallen creation. We should expect that. And when Adam and Eve fell into lives of perpetual sin, terminated by death, the rest of the Bible is the grand meta-narrative of God's unfolding plan of redemption, so that there will come a time in which there's no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. Behold, all things will have become new. So in this world, we're going to have trouble, but there's a new world coming. I have mantle cell lymphoma. In the new heavens and new earth, that will not exist, nor will any other maladies that are now the plight of humankind.
Praise God.
Hey, appreciate your call, Greg.
Thank you, Hank.
You're welcome. Scotty, Stillwater, Oklahoma. Hi, Scotty.
Hello.
How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing great, in fact. I'm just enjoying being on the broadcast.
Okay. What do you think of the Shepherd's Chapel?
What do I think of them?
Yeah.
Well, what do I think about Arnold Murray, who denies the Trinity, or who claims that Christ and the Holy Spirit are one and the same, or who teaches Anglo-Israelism, which holds that Anglo-Saxons are the chosen race, or who teaches the serpent seed doctrine that Eve had sex with a snake, and that's where you get Cain and his progeny, the Kenites. I mean, this is just sheer madness. And so here's a guy who not only denies essential Christian doctrine, but then he takes secondary issues or even absurd issues and he enshrines them as though they're essentials of the historic Christian faith. So my advice to anyone that happens to encounter this program late at night when you have insomnia is to flip the dial as quickly as you can, or I guess you use a remote, so use the remote quickly.
Okay. And what do you think of... Okay, I know that Christ said it was finished on the cross and everything. Is there any way possible you can still be saved and still fall away from Christ?
Well, look, I think the whole idea of salvation is that we go on in the process from the port of salvation, as Vladimir Lossky has well said. We go on to the goal of union with God. So the idea of the shipwreck is not simply to reach the port, it is to go on. And that going on means that you are following the principles and precepts of Christ, you're co-consummators of the kingdom, and the love affair grows and grows and grows, and it grows within the context of the body of Christ, the pillar and ground of truth, wherein graces are dispensed to you by which you can live, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. So if one is truly born again, the earnest, the deposit of the Holy Spirit within will propel them on to deeper and deeper love relationship with the very one who saved them by His grace. So at the end of the day, God's trees are evergreen because they continue on in the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Much more could be said about that. But unfortunately, coming up to station break, on the other side of the break, the quote of the day, this comes from, well, I'll tell you about that when we come back from the break. It's an incredible quote of the day, worth writing down. Later on, you can find it on the web at equip.org. Do remember the podcasts. You can find them on the web at equip.org. We keep putting up new ones. I think this is one of the most significant enhancements we have ever made to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. So go to equip.org and check out the latest podcast. It's with Raymond Ibrahim. Unbelievable. We'll be right back.
During the mid-20th century, African Americans who concluded that Christianity is the white man's religion often embraced the black supremacist cult Nation of Islam. Although Nation of Islam numbers have since declined, it retains some influence. To attract more educated followers, Nation of Islam scholar Wesley Muhammad has formulated new arguments to legitimize Nation of Islam's view of God. How should Christians respond? Find out in the article, Is the Black Man God? Challenging the Central Claim of the Nation of Islam by Jimmy Butts, in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be right back with more after this.
Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. In his book, Darwin's House of Cards, Tom Bethel writes, "The science of Darwinism was poor all along and supported by very few facts. Although Darwinism has been promoted as science," says Bethel, "its unstated role has been to prop up a philosophy of materialism and atheism along with it. As Christians, we are called by Christ to be wise and build our house on the rock. Darwinian devotees, however, have built their ivory tower on sinking sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was its fall." To receive your copy of Darwin's House of Cards as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Pro-choice advocates often contend that while human embryos are biological members of the human species, embryos have not yet reached the developmental stage necessary to identify them as persons. But is a human embryo a potential person or a person with great potential? Other topics include the divide between Sunni and Shia Muslims, challenging the central claim of the Nation of Islam, when freedom of expression and emotions collide on campus, does God have a spirit body, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. As Christians, we are called by Christ to be wise and build our house on the rock. Darwinian devotees, however, have built their ivory tower on sinking sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Journalist Tom Bethel uses his decades-long journey through the flimsy evidence of Darwinism to make a compelling case to topple Darwin's House of Cards, arguably the greatest myth in the history of science. To receive your copy of Bethel's book, Darwin's House of Cards, as our thanks for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Hey, Roger. Randy, and the quote of the day, this one's delicious. It's from Columbia University geneticist Thomas Hunt Morgan, who almost 100 years ago was skeptical of the claims being made about natural selection. And by the way, he won the Nobel Prize in 1933. In his experiments, what he was trying to do was he was attempting to increase the number of bristles in fruit flies. But the number would always reach a plateau, and that plateau would never be exceeded. So he finally got the message. And therein lies the quote of the day. In fact, Thomas Hunt Morgan thinks that this message, which he finally got, ought to be engraved in stone. Here's the quote of the day. said Thomas Hunt Morgan. Natural selection, then, has not produced anything new, but only more of certain kinds of individuals. Evolution, however, means producing new things, not more of what already exists. And I think that ought to be engraved in stone. Not only that, but I think that you ought to be reading Darwin's House of Cards by Tom Bethel. If you're like me, you will enjoy every word of this book. Tom Bethel has served as Washington editor for Harper's. He's a contributing editor to Washington Monthly, senior editor at the American Spectator. This guy flat knows how to write. I mean, I couldn't stop. I was so tired last night, and I couldn't put the book down. So my wife, Kathy, was reading one book. I was reading another. And she said, honey, I think we should go into bed. You got to be at the hospital early in the morning. And I said, let's just stick out here for just another half hour. I want to keep. And I was having so much fun with this book. Unbelievable. I mean, he tells a story of Hermann Mueller. And this is, you know, another one of these delicious kinds of pieces of information you find in the book. He was awarded the Nobel Prize in 1946. What was his claim to fame? Well, he studied the effects of X-rays on fruit flies. And, well, he believed that X-rays could speed up the process of evolution about 150 times. And he got a Nobel Prize for his conjecture. Well, of course, today all attempts to speed up evolution with X-rays, which are always destructive to the experimental animal, have been abandoned as animal cruelty and as sheer sophistry, sloppy journalism, sensationalism, and that which does not correspond to the truth. A lot of people writing in to the Christian Research Institute supporting this ministry, and without you, I could not do what I do, and so I'm deeply grateful to those who support this ministry. And Christina, the cards and letters, as it were, the emails, the Facebook posts, they keep rolling in, and they're a great encouragement to us.
I particularly like the ones about me. Just kidding. There's not many. We have a testimony from Marcel Bas from Groten uit Nederland.
Oh yeah, well you don't Groten. you did not learn your Dutch.
Groten, you didn't teach me.
Groten uit Nederlands.
Groten uit Nederlands.
I think that's what you're trying to say.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
So that means greetings from the Netherlands.
She says, Mr. Hanegraaff fights for truth, Christian authenticity, and common sense in an extremely eloquent, straightforward, scholarly fashion. It is only natural that he joined the Eastern Orthodox Church. We also have Kyle. I am going to butcher this last name, so I'm just going to skip it. But he's from Laibach, Austria. And he says, my whole life I will meet believers and make friends, but I know as soon as I tell them that I'm Catholic, they will disown me and say, you're not a Christian, go away. So I have to choose wisely who I open myself to. Longtime good friends who were like family. There's nothing wrong with Mr. Hanegraaff. Nothing has changed. He still believes everything he did last year. He still loved Jesus the same way he always has. It makes me want to angry, but I know Jesus wants me to forgive, so I don't. This attitude Christians have of throwing out this incorrect blanket statement like, oh, that's the whore of Babylon. You're not one of us anymore, is both wrong, incorrect, uneducated, unloving, unchristlike, and it does not glorify Jesus. I will always support Mr. Hanegraaff. Jesus is Lord.
You know, what's interesting about that is the idea that the Roman Catholic Church is the whore of Babylon is so prevalent in Christian circles today. I mean, it has been popularized by the Left Behind series and by the writings of Tim LaHaye and others. And it is absolutely unconscionable because ultimately it depends solely on a misinterpretation of the book of Revelation, an inability to read Revelation in the sense in which it is intended. So, yeah, a lot of people think that I have suddenly changed everything overnight as though I don't stand with my prior writings. There are some things that have changed in my life, but if those changes are anything, they are my ordering my life around the divine. And as I forget the person's name, what was the name again? Is Kyle? Was
Kyle.
It? Kyle, yes, he said, I love Jesus more today than ever before. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Jared in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Jared.
Hey, Hank, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Good. I just want to start by saying thank you so much for your ministry and just the work you're doing for God and just all the answers that you bring for everyone. It's very, very, very helpful.
Thank you.
I just want to start, like, I got so much going on in my life in the past 7-8 months. And, yeah, it's been very, very hard, but very, very, it's been a blessing because God's been with me the whole time and he keeps revealing, like, really heavy, heavy things to me. And the people I've been at really know where to go with it, or they don't seem to think that there's any quality there. So the first thing I wanted to ask, have you heard of anything of the unholy trinity?
Yeah, I think this is sort of a way of cleverly talking about the antithesis of worshiping the true God. So there are variations of what the unholy trinity is, but again, it's the antithesis of that which is true. You know, that we serve one God revealed in three persons eternally distinct, something that we can apprehend, but most certainly cannot comprehend.
Okay, so maybe, because what came to me is like, you got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and you got the enemy, obviously, you got Satan, and he's a copycat, he's not original, he has none of his own ideas, he pretty much copies everything of the Holy Trinity head, except it's for him and our demise, and like, I found it in Revelation, I could be wrong, but like, you got Satan, and then you got the Antichrist, which is Satan in human form, and then just the presence of death on the world, the death presence.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things here that I love about what you said. The first is that you mentioned that Satan does not do anything original, and I think that's absolutely right. I mean, especially when you read the book of Revelation, you recognize that Satan parodies what Christ does. He cannot do what Christ does. Very, very interesting. If you look at what I was referring to earlier, the Left Behind series, you'll find that there's an antichrist that can do precisely what Christ does. In other words, he can rise from the dead. He can cause the sun to do various things. He can cause it to rain. He can do everything that deity can do. And this is a grave mistake because Satan can only parody what Christ can do. But as to the unholy trinity, I mean, there are many different ways of communicating it. One of the ways of communicating it is the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I oftentimes say in this regard, it is not our prerogative to figure out whether we're tempted by the world, the flesh, and the devil, but it is our prerogative. It is, in fact, our great blessing to be able to put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against principalities and powers of darkness. And one of the things I love about the full armor of God, and it's worth memorizing, not just so you get the words in your head, but so you can understand what each one of those words represents. But when Paul starts talking about the full armor of God, he starts out by saying, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Now, what's the takeaway? The takeaway is we should be far more encouraged by God's ability to bless than we are discouraged by Satan's ability to pillage. Which means that if we put on the full armor of God, we can be invincible in spiritual warfare. Conversely, if we do not, we are guaranteed to be casualties because we have a very real enemy. Satan, the world, and the flesh. We're tempted by the flesh, the passions. We're tempted by the world. Oh my goodness. Are we tempted by the world? You know, people spend their whole lives scaling the mountain. Then they get to the top of the mountain, they think, why? Because you can be just as happy in a hotel room with a small suitcase as you can in a mansion, quite frankly. And over the years, you learn that you can only put one pair of pants on at the same time. So you end up following the lusts of the world and you end up being dissatisfied. But if you put on the full armor of God, you can stand against principalities and powers of darkness, and after you've done everything, to stand. Well, we get more questions, hopefully. Call back tomorrow, question about angels and free will. It's a good question, actually. I do answer that in, Afterlife. That also available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Please call back tomorrow. Hopefully we'll have an opportunity. It's Thursday today, right? Tomorrow, yes. Tomorrow we'll be back with more answers. And I want to thank everybody for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Your support of this ministry is touching lives all around the globe. Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of Tom Bethel's book, Darwin's House of Cards, to show you why, like Bethel, he's inclined to say that there is actually no evidence for evolution. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The divide between the two major branches of Islam, Sunni and Shia, stems from the homicide of Muhammad. Many Shias contend that Muhammad's young wife, Aisha, committed the murder, while many Sunnis believe a Jewish woman was ultimately responsible. Despite perpetual dispute, Sunni and Shia share remarkable unanimity when it comes to the main and the plain things of Islam. Other topics include challenging the central claim of the Nation of Islam, are all religions man-made, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. In his book, Darwin's House of Cards, Tom Bethel writes, "The science of Darwinism was poor all along and supported by very few facts. Although Darwinism has been promoted as science," says Bethel, "its unstated role has been to prop up a philosophy of materialism and atheism along with it. As Christians, we are called by Christ to be wise and build our house on the rock. Darwinian devotees, however, have built their ivory tower on sinking sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was its fall." To receive your copy of Darwin's House of Cards as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888
7000 CRI or visit equip.org.